Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, where as of yesterday, as you're listening to this, was 222 and also Jen's birthday.
Happy birthday to Shoddy. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. Go Shoddy. I'm recovering.
Jen spent the night in a rubber room.
35 again. Just 35. Kidding.
You're only as old as you act.
Yeah. Well, I feel about 107 some mornings, but, you know, it's all good.
That's right.
It's all good.
You got to wake up and you do your stretches and do yoga and then sit on the veranda, look overlooking the...
Oh, I have to tell you about my dream.
Oh, no.
I have to share with the listeners. They'll appreciate this. So I had a dream last night, and I was in Mom and Dad's kitchen. And everybody was there. It was like, you know, a normal party. We're all just hanging out. And I'm standing there and I'm holding my phone and Dad's FaceTiming me. What? And Dad says, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? What is it? What do you have to tell me? He's like, I can't tell you with everybody around.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. So I go in the back bedroom and I'm like, don't have my phone anymore. But I'm like standing there talking to him as if he was there, but he wasn't there. And I was like, tell me what you have to tell me. Where are you? And then I woke up.
Oh.
So I think my message will be coming soon. From the other side.
Well,
from my Shoddy.
You know.
In heaven.
We've said many times, even like with my dreams about Jackie,
mm-hmm.
We don't really talk to each other, but yet we talk to each other.
Yeah. It was weird. Because, you know, I've only had Dad in my dreams maybe two or three times since he's passed, but he was just in it.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking to me, but this, he was talking to me on FaceTime. I don't even know how he's FaceTiming. I have to tell you something. And
which
I'm
is,
like, tell me, please tell me.
Which is kind of interesting because we all made sure Mom and Dad had a cell phone. So mm-hmm. We got him a nice cell phone and they had no clue how to use it. They
None. Were None.
I think it's sitting in their kitchen drawer.
Probably. Right where it belongs, right? Like, no clue. Yet, whenever we go over, like, I'll have my phone or Joe have his phone, and my mom will just sit there, and you give her Facebook or Instagram, and she will just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll, and she loves it. She just loves it. But she doesn't want a phone of her own,
I
right?
Know.
Like, which is great. I guess, you know, when you're 88 and never had... I mean, we barely grew up with electronics, right? Like this, you know,
I used to have a pager and a car stereo that you pulled out.
Where you push the button and it, and you slide it out by the little handle, right? And you take it with you. And then you
were cool because you had your radio.
I know. You slide out your radio.
And the beeper.
Oh my God. That was our dating. Like,
did you have
beeper dating?
Did you have a little gold chain off your beeper?
Yes, I did. Because I was suave. Rico. Suave. Yes. And, you know, we were cool when we thought we had a MySpace. Oh.
I still have MySpace.
Shut up.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
I need to go back. I need to log on to it.
I think the last time
I logged on to it, I couldn't remember how to use it.
I think it's been probably 15 years since
longer. Facebook started, because, you know, Facebook. Oh, my God, Facebook.
But I met some incredible people on MySpace. I met my friend Jack Harrison, actor and former stuntman. Jackie is out there in the acting world. He's 6'6". He's tall as a tree. And I'm... But, and we are still friends to this day. You know, mm-hmm. We hang out every time we get to see each other, whether it's in North Carolina or Pennsylvania or Hollywood, wherever it is.
Yeah.
Vancouver, whatever. But no, yet just sort of like waxing nostalgic right now. I have a fun fact for you, Joe.
All right.
So if you guys don't know, I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
I'm on a diet.
Jen's officially on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
Officially.
I lost half a pound. I don't want to turn 50 next year and be chunky monkey.
Oh.
I want to be, ooh, like that 50-year-old.
You're only as fat as you act.
Well, then put me on my 600-pound life, because me and Potato Chips are getting a divorce.
Oh.
But we might get reunited. Maybe some bake lace.
Reunited because it tastes so good.
I mean, I can't even go, like if I go to get gas, I'm like, I can't even go inside because the temptation is too great. Okay, this is a really fun fact. Sodium citrate is the secret ingredient to making any cheese into a smoothie. Smooth, creamy nacho cheese sauce. Coincidentally, sodium citrate's chemical formula is Na3C6H5O7, or short, nacho. That's amazing. I just had to share that with everybody because it's not paranormal, but it is awesome.
Well, you know, John Tenney says that the paranormal happens to us all the time. It's called coincidence.
Right.
Well, something kind of weird happened. Last Saturday night, we had a party. Dana's other band, Crud, which is Dana and her husband, James. James plays the drums. Dana plays the bass. You got Dan.
Mama play a kettle.
Yeah. You got Danielle, but you also have the lead singer, who is Vinny from the band Sponge.
Vinny Dombrowski.
Yep. But you also have Dave Black. He's from the band Seduce. Okay. So anyways, Crud had a party on Saturday night, and after they got done playing, one of the people in the audience wanted to hear their song Balaam's Ass Speak, which is the song that we opened the show with. Well, the weird thing that happened was they rehearsed the night before, and they rehearsed that song. Well, now James tried to find it in the iPod because he has all the opening sounds, you know, like the little organ sound or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually disappeared out of his iPod. That was the only song that disappeared completely out of his iPod. Wow. Couldn't find it. He was panicking on stage because he couldn't find it.
Oh my God.
And they just ended up ending the show because he couldn't find it in his iPod, which was kind of weird because he had it in like four different folders, and it disappeared out of all four folders.
Ooh.
And he couldn't find it. Yeah. So that was kind of a weird thing that happened.
Not a coincidence, right?
No. So today's show, we're talking about the Salem Witch Trials because it's on March 1st. It's the official anniversary date. Marks the 328th anniversary of the Salem Witch Trials on March 1st, coming up here in a few days.
That's crazy to think 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
people, we're still talking about it.
We weren't even a country then, right? Because we didn't become a 1776.
Yeah,
right?
No, because this was in the 1600s.
Wow. So this is like 50 to 100 years before we were in a country. Mm-hmm. Ooh, man. Scary. Scary stuff, man.
But everybody knows what the Salem Witch Trials are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still going to go over it a little bit, so in case that one person out there that says, the heck are they talking about?
I just don't know enough about the Salem Witch Trials.
Well, I actually don't really know anything about them. So
all we know is we want to go to Salem and check it all out and ride. Do you ever see, there was some show on, and people were in Salem on those Segways doing some kind of tour thing.
Oh, really?
And then there was like these people dressed as witches on these Segways, and their like capes are blowing behind them. I was like, that just looks cool, man. Like, never been on a Segway in my life, but I'd probably kill myself. So, and then they come back and haunt you also.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's all paranormal, right? Well, the Salem Witch Trials were a series of hearings and prosecutions of people accused of witchcraft in colonial Massachusetts between February 1692 and May of 1693. More than 200 people were accused. 33 were found guilty. Actually, 19 people who were executed. 5 were men and 14 were women. One other man, Giles Corey, was pressed to death for refusing to plead, and at least 5 people died in jail. Can you imagine being pressed?
Yeah,
to
I do know about that. He refused, and they just kept putting stones on top of a board on top of him, and he was actually pressed to death. And I think, now don't quote me on this because
I don't quote him.
But didn't he yell out just before he died that he was going to curse the whole town?
Yes, he did. Well, you know, when you're being wrongly accused, you better watch out, buddies. Okay, so the Salem Witch Trials began during the spring of 1692 after a group of young women in Salem Village, Massachusetts, claimed to be possessed by the devil, accused several local women of witchcraft. So as a wave of hysteria spread throughout colonial Massachusetts, a special court convened in Salem to hear the cases. The first convicted witch, Bridget Bishop, was hanged that June. 18 others followed Bishop to Salem's gallows, while some 150 more men, women, and children were accused over the next several months. By September of 1692, hysteria began to abate and public opinion turned against the trials. Through the Massachusetts General Court, later annulled guilty verdicts against accused witches and granted indemnities, I think that's how you say it, to their families. Bitterness lingered in the community, and the painful legacy of the Salem witch trials would endure for centuries. So it's really a sad thing. I mean, here's people being accused by, you know, some group of teenagers who are probably just being rebellious.
Yeah.
There was a lot of jealousy between neighbors. You know, Salem was kind of the ritzier part of town. How ritzy can you be in 1692, right? You're
ritzy.
Either living in a dirt mud hut or you're in a ritzy, you know, maybe shack or something. What's interesting, too, is you would think they had no knowledge of, like, any kind of mental illness or disease back then. I mean, we've read cases where whole towns went mad from eating, like, poison rice or,
you know,
things like that. But this just sounds more like people were just playing.
There was just like
naughty neighbors.
Yeah, just hysteria came out. A lot of people think that was the first witch trials, but there was actually one in 1662 in Hartford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So in March of 1662, John and Betha Kelly, their daughter, died. Okay. So she just got home from a neighbor's house, and the neighbor's last name was Aries. But the daughter, she was complaining that Mrs. Aries would stomp on her. She choked the girl. So this is what the daughter actually said when she got home before she passed away. She said, "Father, Father, help me. Goodwife Aries is upon me. She chokes me. She kneels on my belly. She will break my bowels. She pinches me. She will make me black and blue." So in other words, the daughter was being beat by this lady.
Mm.
So they accused her of being a witch. And a lot of the townspeople got up in arms and were finger pointing, accusing her of being a witch. And Miss Aries was actually sent to the gallows and hung as a witch. And so that was in Hartford, Connecticut in 1662.
Well, people always say, okay, like, where did this come from? Where did this whole thing of people being witches, how did that start? Where are people getting this idea? So I have a little bit of background in of that. So people's belief in the supernatural, specifically in the devil, practice of giving certain humans, witches, power to harm others in return for their loyalty had emerged out of Europe as early as the 14th century. It was widespread in colonial New England, though. In addition, the harsh realities of life in the rural Puritan community of Salem Village, present-day Danvers, Massachusetts, at the time included after effects of the British War with France in the American colonies in 1689, a recent smallpox epidemic, fears of attacks from neighboring Native American tribes, and a long-standing rivalry with a more affluent community of Salem town, which is the present-day Salem. Amid the shimmering tensions, the Salem witch trials would be fueled by residents' suspicion of resentment towards their neighbors, as well as the fear of outsiders. So this is kind of brought over from these practices in Europe of people just fearing the devil.
Yeah.
Which is most likely a lot of their religious connotations were good and evil. They're very deeply religious. They're in this new land. Things are not normal to them. Harsh conditions. There's disease.
I was going
to
say diseases that they don't know of. And back then, people would get the cold or whatever, and they wouldn't know what it was, and they would say they were possessed, or they would bloodlet them, you know, bleed them out, and then they would die after being bled out, and they would say that it was the work of the devil.
Sepsis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what if you had schizophrenia? Like, they would have no, they would just think it was madness, the moon, you know. Yeah. There is a story here which kind of explains some of the symptoms, though. So in January of 1692, so this is about a month before the trial started. Okay. 9-year-old Elizabeth Betty Parrish and 11-year-old Abigail Williams, the daughter and niece of Samuel Parris, who was the minister of Salem Village, began having fits, including violent contortions, uncontrollable outbursts of screaming. After a local doctor, William Griggs, diagnosed them with bewitchment.
Okay, see, that's what we were saying.
Other young girls in the community began to exhibit similar symptoms, including Ann Putnam Jr., Mercy Lewis, Elizabeth Hubbard, Mary Walcott, and Mary Warren. In late February, arrest warrants were issued for the Paris's Caribbean slave, Tuba? I don't know. Sorry. Rest in peace. along with other women, a homeless beggar named Sarah Good and the poor elderly Sarah Osborne, whom which the girls accused of bewitching them. So who knows? What if they all got some kind of strange mad cow disease?
Yeah. Or ate some bad mushrooms and had bad trips?
Or maybe the Native Americans put a spell on them? Like, who knows, right? Like, there could have been some evil forces at work.
There could have been, but most likely it was something they ate or they were...
mental illness or... I don't know. There was sometimes...
Or
I
hysteria.
Some, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's
catchy? Joe can't talk today.
I can't talk. Being that many people were accused and it was so easy for them just to say, they're a witch, and right away they're a witch.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like deflection, right? Like, I'm going to accuse somebody else and... then I'm sane and you are a witch, right? Yeah. So it just spread like wildflower.
So Salem and Connecticut were not the only places that there were actually witch trials. Later on in the years, there has been witch trials in Ohio and Michigan. Wow. And also in Pennsylvania.
No way.
So in Ohio, down by the Cincinnati area, there's a town called Bethel. And it had the only witch trial in Ohio.
Really?
It was actually a witch trial.
We drove by that. Yeah. Going somewhere. Where were we?
I remember driving through there.
Did we stop for gas or something there?
Something.
I don't remember, but I remember seeing the sign.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyhow.
Carry on.
Joe's
getting bewitched right now.
I'm telling you, I'm trying to talk. I keep stuttering my words.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm like, stut.
He's not drunk.
No.
He doesn't drink.
I'm not drunk.
He's not drunk. Okay.
Sorry. It's just these things that I'm taking that make me... No.
Edibles.
No. I wish. No, but anyhow. Anywho, in 1805, there was a woman named Nancy Evans, and she was accused of being a witch. And she actually... You can go actually where she used to live, but now it's the corner of State Route 125 and 232. She had a house there. She was accused of being a witch by two young girls from the Hildebrand family. They accused Nancy Evans of witchcraft. Their claim was they saw Miss Evans talking to her black cat alone in her house. And they say that is the work of the devil.
Okay.
Okay. Nancy Evans was brought in front of a makeshift court. And by their law, how they determine if she's a witch was they would balance her on the weight of the Bible. So what they did was they constructed a makeshift scale and they put the Bible on one side of the scale and they sat her on the other side of the scale and she weighed more than the Bible, which made her innocent. Okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, you know, she obviously weighed more than the Bibles. She was acquitted of all charges. And after a few years, she moved out of Bethel into Brown County, which is next door, became a well-known person in the community, and she passed away a few years after that. So she lived out her life as the only person put on trial of witchcraft in Ohio.
That is so interesting. For talking to her cat. She was a cat lady.
She was alone talking to her cat, which is the work of the devil.
Now, we're going to have a lot of cat ladies upset with us. It's not us. No, it's
I'm reading the only witch trial in Ohio.
So send your cat pictures to Joe. He is single
now
and looking for never mind
and ready to mingle.
Okay, go ahead.
The show's going very well.
It's a rabbit hole okay. tonight.
Another thing on Mackinac Island. Now, we've talked about this in the past, but they had a way of telling if women were witches. Okay, there's a small inland pool, 20 foot deep, where they would put women on a pole, and they would set them on the end of the pole, sort of like a teeter-totter type deal thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they were accused of being a witch, they would be dunked underwater, and then they would be raised up and say, are you a witch? And if they say no, they would dunk them again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what they would do is, if they drowned, they knew that they were guilty of witchcraft. Okay? So if they survived, God. They weren't witches, which you would think would be different. You would think it'd be opposite, because if they survived, then they would be witches. But nope. Back then, they thought that if they would put them underwater and they drowned, then they were witches.
Be glad we live in the times we do. Well, I don't know. There's so much strife right now, like people accusing people of everything else, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I found another Michigan witch story.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, this is called The Legend of the Ada Witch, ADA.
Oh, I know about this. Okay.
And so some
goat head.
He's calling me names. You're a witch! Go talk to your cat, Joe.
Yeah.
Sometime during the 19th century, a woman had been unfaithful to her husband and would disappear into the night to meet her secret lover. Her husband started to suspect his wife was up to something and one night pretended to fall asleep. After the wife got up and quietly left the house, he followed her and found her in the arms of another man, her lover. Rage welled up inside of him and he attacked the adulterous couple, killing his wife first. The two men fought viciously until they both died from wounds they inflicted upon each other. So people claim that they have heard sounds of a fight taking place in the area, only to find no one. The land at one point had been open for hunting before much of it became zoned for residential use. There have been reports from past hunters feeling presence around them, hearing ghostly fight and getting tapped on the shoulder from behind. Of course, there are sightings of the lady in white, a.k.a. the Ada Witch, in the cemetery herself. People say they've been driving down that road. They saw a lady in a blue flowing dress waving her arms with the words coming out of her mouth, help me, help me. And when they stopped, she would disappear. So interesting. And there is a cemetery called Finley Cemetery, and they, you know, have a lot of people go in there and investigate, and there's tombstones that they leave little trinkets and things, and people say they have paranormal activity in there.
They see her in that cemetery?
Yep, that's what they say.
Okay.
Lady in white. But, you know, just if you do go, ask permission from the police first, because if you're in there after dark, you'll get arrested.
That's in the Grand Rapids area.
Oh, okay. We got to check it out, Joe.
Yeah, it's only 2 hours and about 40 minutes away.
Yeah, we'll be up going that way at some point.
Oh, yeah, we always do.
Okay. So we've had Ohio, we've had Michigan, we've had Salem, but is there more witch trials?
Well, yes, there is.
Oh, thanks.
They're all over the place, really, but I've found a couple of them. The other one is from Pennsylvania. Now, this one here, the reason why the person was considered a witch was because the cows were acting funny. Okay.
Cows.
The official trial started with the terms, the cows were acting funny. They wouldn't produce milk. There was no explanation besides witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the accused was Margaret Manson. She was a Swedish woman and she couldn't speak English. So the town folk all decided that she was a witch. So the state's founding father, William Penn, was the presenting judge over the case, which saw Mattson, along with another Swedish immigrant named Yersho Hendrickson, accused of cursing the cows and casting spells upon the cows.
Moo.
Yes. So William Penn took several steps to ensure that Madison had a fair trial, providing the Swedish-speaking woman with an interpreter. Her fellow Swedes filled the jury, and Mattson was allowed to defend herself at the trial. While that doesn't seem too crazy now by today's standards, but at the time, was extremely progressive.
Ooh, yeah. She was a woman.
She was a woman.
Yeah, it's a progressive
one. Yeah, because worm woman.
Worm.
Wow.
Wow.
Women weren't allowed to take the stands at all in the criminal trial until the 19th century in England. There was no death penalty at stake, though, because in Pennsylvania it was abolished, except for willful murder. Except for murder.
Moida. I had a moida, yeah.
Yeah. So in the end, she was accused of being a witch, okay? And the punishment was handed out, and the punishment was that the husbands of the women were fined 50 pounds.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Back in those days, that's probably like $50,000.
Yeah, but it was kept on bond for good behavior. No further charges were made against the women for 6 months. Then the money would be returned.
50 so pounds to 50, be a witch.
50 pounds.
Y'all not and guilty.
If you're not a witch for 6 months, the I money is given back to you. I
never expected the Spanish Inquisition. Oh my gosh. Remember that? We were watching this show the other day, Mom.
Monty Python.
And all of a sudden these guys jump in and they're like, nobody ever expects the Spanish Inquisition. That was hilarious. So funny. It was a witch trial.
It was a witch trial, yeah. So we just wanted to bring you up to date on the Salem witch trials. It was only a couple days ago, 300 and some years ago.
I know, but you know, people are just fascinated by the whole Salem witch things, you know, and there's so many different varieties of witches nowadays, you know, there's like covens and good witches and bad witches and light witches and dark witches, and people, you know, claim to be witches. Now, if you're a female, are you a witch? Now, if you're a male, are you a warlock?
I think so. I think that's how it is. Let us know.
Are there male witches?
Let us know in the comments after on Facebook.
I'd like to know. And if anybody is out there, why don't you give us a jingle?
I could ask. I do know a few witches.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Did you date a few?
No.
No, yeah, we should definitely dive a little bit more into the subject. But, you know, it just didn't happen in Salem, people. It was happening all over the United States at some point.
In Europe.
Europe, yeah.
Started in Europe and migrated over to the United States, which wasn't the United States at the time. But
no. What were we? The colonies?
Just the territories and colonies and moving in on the Indian territories.
Yeah, our brethren.
So before we let you go, Jen just came in possession
of a haunted object. I have not been possessed.
No.
But I do have possession of a haunted doll.
A haunted doll.
Yes, so we said we never
collect haunted dolls,
but this one was
kind of different.
It's different, all right. So I'm probably going to post a picture up after I do a little bit of experimentation. I need to do some research, gather some evidence, use all my ghostly meters and things. And I need to, I can't find our spirit box either, so.
I know where it's at. It's in my car.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to use that. So, anywho, have a great week, Joe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. We're going off the rails now.
Yeah. So anyways, that is our show for the week. Hope you enjoyed the madness.
Madness, craziness, rabbit holes, and witch trials.
Yes.
But tune in next week for more insanity with the 222 Paranormal Podcast. The wonderful international globalization of podcasts.
Yeah. And if you like what you hear, please share it with all your friends.
Yes, get them to listen.
Yes. So let's leave with a little bit of crud. Bellaman's ass.
Check him out on Facebook. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
There was no price like the price of your head.